Blog Talk Radio.
Glory, 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 glory to God. Thank you to everyone that has called in, those that are listening via the archive, and those that are listening via the web. This is Let's Talk, and this is Cecilia. I thank God for each and every one of you. I thank God for just being God, which is more than we could ever perceive, conceive, and fathom in our whole heart, mind, and total being. Thank you for all of your prayers for our various family members, Beverly and Pastor Sandra Thomas and Minister Sylvia, and I could just go on and on and on of thanking you, praying for those that work with us and those on our jobs and in our classrooms and those that have been affected by the various hurricanes and various disasters in the world. So I thank you all for praying for one another. So let's begin with prayer. Father God, we glorify you. We magnify you. We lift you up. For you are King, you are God, and you are our sovereign Creator. We thank you for Jesus, who's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that is our Comforter. Father God, we can't thank you enough. So on this morning, I say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you for being our provider. Thank you for being our protector. Thank you for being the one and only true and living God, our God. You are our master, you are our teacher, you are our friend. You are our present help in time of trouble. We thank you for your archangels and the angels you have encamped all around us. We thank you for how they protect us and how they bring us the many, many blessings that you've sent us. Unmerited blessings, unmerited favor, just because of who you are. Thank you for giving us a heart to want to serve you. And I ask you, God, from the east to the west, from the north to the south, and in the center and all over, that people would have a heart to want to serve you, a heart to repent, a heart to know you, a heart to want to be in an intimate relationship with you, Father God. A heart to forgive. Ah, my God. A heart to love. A heart to seek your favor and to give your favor. God, a heart to be gracious and merciful. A heart to say that they want to be forgiven, a heart to apologize when it's needed and necessary, a heart to willingly not always have to be right, a heart, God, to want to chase after you with every fiber of their total being. Our heart to worship you in spirit and truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship you. For they that worship you, Father, must worship you in spirit and in truth. For you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of courage, of sound mind, God. We thank you, God, for you teaching us how to be those that can walk and rest in comfort and knowing that you sent us the comforter. Thank you for a sound mind, God. For so many take it for granted to have a sound mind. to have a mind that can be stayed on you, God, a mind to praise you, a mind to worship you, a mind to submit to you, a mind to obey you, a mind to know you, God. Thank you for a mind and a heart to obey you, God, to worship you in spirit and in truth. Thank you for a mind to love you and to learn of your unconditional love. Thank you. Dwellers in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And we will say, Lord, that you are our refuge and our fortress. Thank you for the favor that you released, Alaska, that's going before us and goes with us and even remains. Favor that we can lean not to our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge you, God, for we don't always understand your favor. But we're grateful for your favor, God. Favor. Favor in our finances. Favor in our health. Favor in our relationships. Favor in conversations. Favor on the jobs, the ability to pick, choose, and refuse. The favor to stay steadfast and unmovable, God. Favor, we thank you for your favor. Your favor on your left hand and your right hand. Your favor in front of us and behind us. And your blessings that are overtaking us, God. We thank you for your favor and your wisdom of what to do with the favor. How to handle the favor, how not to misappropriate your favor. Thank you for your wisdom, the wisdom that you give us, the things to say and the things not to say. Teach us to pray, God, to pray according to your will and your glory. Thank you for family members that you've already released your favor in their lives for your glory, God. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you. For your favor, for your presence, and for your love. We glorify you. And we magnify you, God. And we thank you for who you are and have always been. You're the one and only true and living God. And we take that not for granted that you are God. You're holy. You're mighty. You're wonderful. You are God. God, we've searched all over for this and for that. But God, it's all about you. It's all about your love. Is all about your favor. And we thank you for your yoke destroying anointing. Your anointing that keeps us. Your anointing that teaches us. Your anointing, God, that causes us to preach and teach your word. Teach us how to pray for one another. Teach us how to encourage one another. Teach us, God, to be teachable. Teach us, God, to be loving and to be kind. Teach us, God, that it's okay to let everybody know that we are loving and children of the Most High God. Thank you for loving us, God. Thank you for loving us, God. We can't make it without your love. We don't want to make it without your love, God. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Thank you for our pastors. Thank you for our teachers. Thank you even for our supervisors, God. Thank you for our colleagues. Thank you for teaching us, God, how to be examples. Examples on the job. Thank you. Examples in the classroom. Thank you, God. You're glorious. You're wonderful. And you are mighty. God, how to be patient with one another. Teach us, God, how to support one another. Teach us, God, how to not only embrace one another, God, but how to have the patience that we desire. So many times, God, we want to receive the patience, but we don't do well in giving it. Teach us how to do both, God. Teach us how to be our brother's keeper. Teach us how to pray for our brothers. Teach us how to be a blessing to our brothers and sisters in Christ, God. We thank you for who you are and who you will always be. And once again, we pray for Apostle Sandra Thomas. We thank you for the longevity that you've given him. We thank you for the hope that you've given him. We thank you for the mercy that you've given him. That you are God and you are God alone. On today, we say thank you and we magnify you. You are so gracious. Amen and amen and amen. So today, we are going to listen to First Baptist of Bryn Mawr, my church home. And that is what we're going to do today for today's service. So it's going to be a little different. I thank God for allowing us to pray together. I thank God for allowing us to pray for one another. So please enjoy the program on today. Okay, and here we are. I'm about to turn it up and turn it on so you can be blessed with this ministry.
That's the word of God for us today. Get your Bible, Hebrews chapter 5. Thanks for joining us. God bless you.
I want you to hold on a second. I'm going to turn and write this because it's important to me to use this.
Thank you.
that our previous pastor, Pastor Johnson, poured into the life of a young man who is now our senior pastor. Please stand and have a seat in with me, Pastor John K. Jenkins, Senior.
It's good to be back home. I'm so glad to be back home. And I do want to take a moment and thank Pastor Paul Shepherd for sharing. Team 2, I had to tell somebody, get that jumper on the plane as soon as it's over. Send him up out of here. Amen. I do want us to just take a moment and acknowledge and celebrate Pastor John W. Johnson. I've watched that video multiple times, and each time it brings tears to my eyes when I think about him and his life, him setting the foundation for this church being where it is today. He was significant man in the life, in my life, and in the life of this church, and I praise the Lord for him and for what he means to me in my heart, and thank him. All right, you can make a name, let's pray. You know what the routine is. We're going to pray for each other. You know what the deal is. We pray for each other. Go ahead, take this moment and pray for one another. Go right ahead.
Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the love of God today and every congregation, whether they are believing to God's gift of kingdom, whether they are local, small town, whether they are down to the living water, wherever they worship God, we pray for their leadership, we pray for every member, we pray for every visitor, we pray for every community, that they all will have a heart to serve and to be filled, to be changed from the inside out, from the Holy Spirit from out, so that we all can be reconciled and restored back into peace. Thank you for every healing, every sign and miracle that's done for your glory. God, we magnify you. We glorify you. We thank you for the people that are standing on their left hand and on their right hand, and in front of them and behind them, and every congregation on today, God. We thank you for those on our jobs, God, that you will hear, that you will cause us to walk in the unity of the example of the perfect Trinity. We call for unity in God and under God. Love. Please be filled with God we trust. God. Teach us how to trust you. We glorify you.
Father, we honor you. We worship you. We adore you. We praise your name. We give you the glory and the honor for every door you've opened, every blessing you have provided. We thank you, God, for being a God that inclines your ear to our cry, that you lean over and hear our prayer. So we pray today that you take these next few moments, Almighty God, as we pray for each other and intercede for one another. We pray for miracles in the person whose name we are calling out before your throne. We pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that you would work miracles, give breakthroughs, whatever they stand in the need of, grant it in Jesus' name. I pray today, Father, that you take this word that you've given us, allow it to speak life and healing and deliverance, accomplish what you've ordained before the foundations of the world, is my prayer. I pray, Father, that not only do you speak to those in this building, but we pray for our brothers and sisters who join us outside of these walls, that you would speak to them wherever they are, Lord, allow your power and might touch their lives. Father, I pray and ask in Jesus' name that you save somebody that needs salvation. Reclaim, restore, plant somebody. Allow your perfect will to be done in the name of the Lord. Now put a hedge around this place, bind every demonic spirit, God, and let the Holy Spirit have free reign in this place. And we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor even ahead of time. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. All right, open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 5. Don't mind for just a moment, Hebrews 5. I want to start at verse 12, even though I'm going to be preaching a few, talking a few verses before verse 12, verses 5 through 14. But let me just pick up for the moment where we are, because it's already 20 minutes to 9, so I'm behind schedule. Let me start at verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you've come to need milk and not solid food, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Amen. You can be seated. For the past, I don't know, 10 days or so, I have been suffering from a condition. I don't know what it is. I haven't been to the doctor for it yet. Pray for me. But one of my ears feels clogged up. You ever had that feeling where you got to yawn to pop your ears? You know that? You got to, it's like congestion. One of my ears is just congested, and it has affected my ability to hear. Matter of fact, when I got up this morning, my wife was talking to me, and I normally could hear her, but I couldn't hear her. Now, I wish I had a switch that I could turn that ability on and off as I so choose. But God did not give us the ability to do that. But I had to say to her, can you repeat what you're saying? Can you speak louder? I can't hear you. That ear has become dull. Something has occurred that, you know, I want to get some of that. I remember seeing a commercial where you pour some chemical in your ear and it breaks up the wax and then it pours out, but I don't know. I'm going to have to go see the doctor because I do value my hearing. Hearing is important, to be able to hear. Hearing is important. I celebrate the people who live life without hearing. Celebrate our deaf ministry and those who serve those who can't hear. But here's the deal. Even though you may not be able to hear physically, what is important is that you have the capacity to hear spiritually. And you don't need physical hearing to be able to hear spiritually. I should have got a few more amens on here. That's for. As a matter of fact, the writer of Hebrews, this unnamed person, he never tells us who he is writing to some Christians. They were once Jews and they have converted to Christianity, and they are wrestling with and contemplating going back to Judaism. And so this whole book of Hebrews is written to them to challenge them and tell them how important it is for them to hang in there with God, hang in there with Christ, and not go back. And he says, so in chapter 5, he starts talking to them about Jesus, and he says, where do I want to start? He's talking about Jesus, and look at verse 9. And I started verse 9. That may not be the best place to start, but that's where I'm going to start because of time. And he says in verse 9, and having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. He's talking about Jesus. He said, we have a Savior. We have somebody. He's perfected. He's the author of our eternal salvation. And if we obey him, matter of fact, he says, he's been called by God as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom, verse 11, we have much to say. Because I got a lot more I want to say to you about this Savior of ours, this one whom you are contemplating walking away from and going back to Judaism. He says, I got a lot I want to say to you about him, of whom we have much to say, and it's hard to explain to you since you have become dull of hearing. He says, I want to take you to a higher level, teach you some more things, and take you to a deeper level, but the problem is your hearing has become dull. That's what I want to talk about today. I want to spend a few moments talking about. That's my subject, signs of dull hearing. That's the topic, signs. Somebody say signs of dull hearing. You may not want to admit it, but there's somebody on your road whose hearing has become dull. Go ahead, look up and down and see who it might be. Yeah, don't point to them, as I tell y'all every week, but just know. This is a significant deal, a significant statement. There is a challenge that I want to talk about because this writer is trying to get them to understand some things about God, but he uses this term. He says your hearing has become dull. It's dull. That word dull means sluggish, lazy. It means it has put you in a posture of stupidity. It means that when it comes to hearing from God and hearing, wanting you to hear the things of God and hearing about God, your hearing has become sluggish, lazy, and you're going to end up in a stupid condition because you're not going to know. You're going to be ignorant. There's some stuff you should know, but you don't know. But God has made the information available to you, but you won't accept it. You won't receive it. My youngest son, John Jr., who's now 19 years of age, when he was small, I used to give him a hug and a kiss. My youngest cute little boy, John Jr., put my hands around him and kiss him. He's 19 now, but when he was little, I used to kiss him. And after I'd kiss him on his cheek, he'd wipe it off. And yet God is speaking to us, and that's what this word dull means, that we are wiping off what God's trying to give to. We don't want it. We don't want to hear it. We're uninterested in it. We're unconnected to it. We don't want it. We don't like it. We don't want to be involved. We wipe it off. It's when you get no longer interested in the next level of your own growth or development. You are satisfied and content where you are. God wants to take you to another level. He wants to develop you to another level, but you have become content and satisfied. Used to be a time you rushed to hear the word. Used to be a time you read that word every day. Used to be a time that word spoke to you and gave you life and gave you hope to your circumstance and your situation. But you have allowed your spirituality to get dull and lazy and sluggish. You see a God speak, but you ain't got time no more. You're not embracing it. He says it's your hearing, your ability to hear. Here's what the word hearing means: to accept. It means you embrace it and accept it. Here's what he said. You used to have a time in your life when you embraced what God was telling you. You did it. Nobody had to convince you. Nobody had to argue with you. The moment you heard the word, you were anxious. You couldn't wait to get it and apply it to your life. But something has happened, and your hearing, your acceptance, your liking, your embracing has become sluggish and lazy, and you become stupid. You're ignorant now. You don't know any better, and you just don't care. Oh, yeah, you come to church. You check off your church attendance. But your growth in the kingdom of God has diminished. I'm sorry, I wish I had a more exciting message to give you today. I usually like to come back from being out with a home run. I've been out on a Sunday, want to come back and make sure y'all know I'm still the pastor. Come and preach that profound, God will make a way, he'll open up the door. That kind of message, you know. But what I heard God tell me in my spirit over and over, and I couldn't shake it, is that I needed to talk to you about your dullish hearing. Somebody say, well, how do I know if I'm like that? What are the signs of being dull of hearing? They're right here in the text. Listen to what he says. He says, here's the first thing, is you have a lack of spiritual maturity. In verse 12, verse 12 and 13 points out this. Verse 12 and 13 talks about having a lack of spiritual maturity. And here's what it says. It says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you've come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Listen to what he breaks down. He says it with clarity. He says you're lacking spiritual maturity. For though by this time you've been in the church long enough, you've been hanging out long enough, that you ought to be teaching others. But here's the deal. You know that you are spiritually dull of hearing because you not only do you have a lack of spiritual maturity, that is demonstrated by the fact that you are uninterested in teaching other people. Somebody say uninterested in teaching others. You're taking no time. You make no effort. You haven't shared with anybody. You ought to be at a place now in your walk with God that you ought to be excited about telling some others, but it's not even there. You've been exposed to truth. It's not that you don't know. You've heard it. You've learned about it, but you're not interested in developing other people and telling other people. You should be a teacher, but you have failed to share it with other people. Matter of fact, the writer says, by this time, you ought to be teachers, but the problem is, he says, right here in verse number 12, again, he says, you need someone to teach you again. So when you lack spiritual maturity, here's what that looks like. You're uninterested in teaching others, that's sub-point A, but you also need to be retaught the basics. Somebody needs to take you back over the elementary things of the kingdom. And matter of fact, those elementary things are down in chapter 6. The first few verses, he talks about the foundational principles he lays down of repentance and faith toward God, and baptism and laying on of hands and resurrection of the dead and eternal judgments. Those things are right there and clear, that those are the basic foundational elementary principles. And the writer says you need somebody to go back and teach you those principles again. And that's unfortunate. What happens to us, we need to be retaught those things again. We don't even know what it means to repent from dead works and to have faith toward God. And we forgot about the doctrines of baptisms, that ain't just one baptism. There's multiple baptisms that you need to know about. And we need to tell you again about laying on of hands and resurrection of the dead and eternal judgments. Somebody got to go back and tell you and reteach these things to you again. You forgot about them. You're uninterested in it. You didn't really learn them. And now at this point, you need to learn them again. He says, you are lacking that which brings you to spiritual maturity. Not only are you uninterested in teaching others, you need to be taught again. But thirdly, underneath this point, he says, you are unskilled in handling the word. He says, you're unskilled in the word of righteousness because you're a babe. You know, somebody tell you to go to a book in the Bible, you don't know the difference between Genesis and Revelation. If I got up here on a Sunday and said, turn to the book of Hezekiah, you've been here long enough, you should have been here long enough and in the word long enough to know there is no book of Hezekiah. If I said that, some of y'all be something.
As long as you've been in church, as long as you've been around here, there ought to be some development and some growth in you. That when somebody says something to you that just ain't true, you ought to know what the differences are. But no, no, you're content with just your Sunday morning appearance. Lean over, tell your neighbor he's preaching better than you saying amen. These are the things you ought to know by now. He says, but your sign of dull hearing is that you are lacking spiritual maturity. As a matter of fact, he says you're a babe. You're still a child. If you've been at a church, Jesus took his disciples. His ministry was 3 years. 3.5 years Jesus did ministry. If you've been a member of this church for 3.5 years and you're still in the same place you were when you first came, or you're not much further past that, Houston, we have a problem. Because we're not a church that entertains. You don't come here on Sundays and I'm holding my ear and hooping and hollering and not teaching. We are a teaching church, Sunday through Sunday. If you're not being taught the word, it's not because it's not available to you. If you're not being taught the word, it's because you don't want to be taught the word. Because it's available. Somebody holler at your neighbor, say, it's available. So we got classes daytime, nighttime, Saturday too. We open our doors. We have classes all the time. Some of you never show up. You only show up on Sundays. There's no level of maturity, no growth in you. You never become everything God wants you to be. And develop a level of maturity sitting at home watching whatever you're watching on TV. Some of y'all keep on track with these shows. Empire, is that still alive? Is Empire still on? Huh? Empire, what else y'all be watching? Power? When does Power come on? They said Power, now they acting like they don't know when it come on. Look, on Sunday, what time? You don't know what time? Sunday night, that's why I ain't ever seen it. Even if I was at home, I can't. And some of y'all know more about these shows and the ongoing plot of who's doing what. You know, the Bible has just as much intrigue and interest and story. Are y'all listening to me? Do you follow what I'm saying to you? And there are biblical principles and truths to add to your life. I'm not sure what you're getting out of these shows on TV. It certainly is not probably giving you an example of what you should be doing. Come on, holler back at me, somebody. He says you're unskilled in the word. That shows your lack of spiritual maturity. You can't get around the scriptures. You don't know. Let me roll on. I got to hurry, and I wish I had time. Not only do you lack a sign of dull hearing, is not only a lack of spiritual maturity, but also, it's number two, a lack of exercising your spiritual senses. That's what he says in verse 14. He says that you should have exercised your senses, be able to discern between good and evil, between right and wrong. And we have an unwillingness in our midst of people who are unwilling to develop their spiritual senses. And what does that mean? Spiritual senses means that you're developing, listen to this, write this down, you are developing spiritual habits. There are habits that you're putting in place in your life, spiritual habits. The writer is calling for when he says that you're exercised to discern. That word exercise means you're developing some spiritual habits in your life. You can only grow and be everything God wants you to be when you develop these habits. You need to develop habits of daily prayer, habits of prayer partners, habits of fasting, habits of devotion before God. Habits. And then it is the consistent having these habits in your life that helps you become everything God wants you to become. Here's what I discovered. When you have a daily need with God, He knows where He can meet you. Hallelujah. Preach on, Pastor. That by reason of use, that's what that means. You develop some habits, and those habits have caused your senses. Here's the thing I'm finishing, bringing it to a close. Here's the problem that we have in our country. We have people in positions of leadership and authority who don't know how to discern between right and wrong. Our leaders are leading us down a path to hell. They haven't been able to tell the difference between right and wrong. When you make a statement that there's good and bad on both sides of the table, did y'all hear what I said? I feel a cussing spirit rising up inside. Our leaders are leading us down to think that we should take care of ourselves through playing the lotto. Our leaders have led us down the path to think that homosexual marriages are acceptable. And some of y'all suck right up. Right on up in it, you're right there. You don't see nothing wrong with it. When the scriptures are crystal clear about what's wrong and what's right. Thank half of y'all for clapping and affirming me. The other half of y'all, I'm praying. Our leaders are leading us down a path of rejecting the things of God. We've got to be spiritual discerning. And I see leaders. Now, this is just not a problem in the political arena. We got problems in the church arena. We got problems in the school arena, and education arena. And we got people who can't discern between right and wrong. And it's problematic. It's painful. It's wrong. Okay, here's what I'm saying. Make sure you ain't dull of hearing. Ask yourself the question. Where do you fall as it pertains to being able to hear from God? Is God talking to you? Is He challenging you? Are you growing? Are you teaching others? Do you know the basic foundational principles of Hebrews 6? Do you know? Can you explain those things to somebody? Who are you teaching? Are you teaching somebody? Is God speaking to you on a regular, or have you grown dull of hearing Him talk to you? You know what I discovered? It's not a thing of God having the desire to talk to you. He wants to talk to you. The question is, He's talking. Do you hear Him talking to you? We've grown so dull in our hearing, so dull in hearing the things of God. We're so tied in to everything else that we have no interest. It bothers me. I'm bothered. I'm disturbed that there used to be a hunger for the things of God in some of you, but that hunger has diminished. And I'm bothered for some of y'all. You've been in church all your life, but you ain't never had a hunger for the things of God. call from God is for us to hear his voice and to be able to have a level of maturity and to eat solid food and come off the milk, get to a place of being full age, grown adult, mature, seasoned. Hallelujah. And be able to tell the difference between right and wrong. That's ultimately what we've got to do. Amen. Stand ready to.
Thank you to everyone that called in and listened to Let's Talk Up today. And I thank you for hearing the word of God, that we need to be teachers of the word and not needing to be taught and not to be walking as babes, but being those that are disciples, the disciples and followers of Jesus Christ. And so let us pray. God, we thank you for the word that we've already heard, that we would embrace your word. And that, God, if we're those that have been found guilty due to us having dull hearing, God, that we ask you, God, to clear out whatever it is that's causing our hearing to be dull, whatever obstruction, whatever distraction, whatever illness, whatever swelling, whatever dis-ease, whatever it is, God, that's causing us not to hear you and to hear you clearly and to hear you with precision, God, that we would be able to hear you and that we would be able to rightly divide your word, God, and that we would be able to be preachers and teachers of your word, and that our life would be an example of those that are preachers and teachers of your word, God, that not only would we hear you with our ears, God, but we would hear you in our heart, God, in the name of Jesus. We glorify you and we magnify you, and we thank you that our hearing and our hearts are whole and that we have already come before you repenting for having dull hearing, and we ask you, God, for precision in hearing your word and in obeying your word and doing your word for your glory, God. And it is so, and so it is. And we will lay our hands on the sick and they shall recover. God, and even if that sick one is us, we will lay our hands on our natural and our spiritual ears and our heart and in our minds and our total beings, the ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Amen and amen. Don't forget to call in tomorrow night for Iron Sharpening Iron with Minister Sylvia and Minister Brandon Kaiser. And don't forget our foundational scripture, St. Matthew 6:33, that says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you," even that hearing that we need to have. For he that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. So until tomorrow, bye-bye. We love you.